In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. What a gospel reading we have this morning. I feel like I should be up in the pulpit, towering over everyone, sermonizing against sinfulness and threatening fire and brimstone. In our reading this morning, there is a lot of talk about fire and cutting off body parts and sin, and I think we need to be very careful in how we interpret it. When I'm sitting down and reading through the Bible, especially when I'm putting together a sermon, I look at the passage through a number of different lenses. Some of these lenses include the historical context. Another one is, where does this passage fit in the narrative of the gospel? And the final one is, how does this passage fit with God as I understand him? For me, I think this last lens is extremely important for this reading. The God I understand is a God of peace, forgiveness, and love, who will point us in the right direction, but does so gently and patiently. Before I speak further on what this passage says, I first want to speak briefly on what it does not say. What this passage does not do is advocate for self-harm, self-loathing, or the hatred of mortal flesh. In New Zealand, we have a high rate of self-harming and suicide, especially among our young people and farmers. While a simple reading of this passage might lead people to think that Jesus is advocating for self-mortification, or even more drastic measures if you sin, I believe that if you look at this passage through a lens of God as love and peace and delve deeper into it, a far more valid teaching arises. So now, what does this passage say? This passage should be looked at in two parts. The first part of this passage is linked strongly with our first reading from the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, we see the retelling of how the people of Israelite, while wandering through the desert, are unsatisfied with the provision that God was making for them. And this was around wanting meat, not just manna at that time. And they're unhappy and they go to Moses for all their problems. However, this was too much of a burden for one person. So God took some of the spirit that was on Moses and gave it to 70 of the elders so that they may be able to bear the burden of leadership. Now, in of itself, that lesson of sharing the burden and delegating is important. But the link to today's gospel comes later on in the Numbers passage. It comes when a young man runs and tells Moses that Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, and Joshua, son of Nun, saying to Moses that he should go and stop them. This is just like how the disciples in our gospel this morning came to Jesus and told him about a person that was casting out demons in his name and how they tried to stop him. The problem for the disciple is not that the person is not following Jesus, for he must have some faith as he is doing it in his name, but the person does not follow them, the disciples. Jesus, however, responds not as they expect, but how Moses did to Joshua. Why should I? Are you jealous for my sake, or because they are not following one of you? This mild rebuking tells the disciples that Jesus does not mind his name being used by others for a good purpose. Just like Joshua, the disciples' actions show us that they are less focused on the good being done and more about an outsider using what they see as their own. Work for the kingdom is not to be jealously guarded for only a select few, but for all believers who call on the name of Jesus. Jesus wants to make it clear to the disciples what he is saying. So he uses an example of an outsider who gives a traveller a glass of water because they bear the name of Christ. While giving a glass of water in our context may not seem major, in a land where the availability of water can mean the difference between life and death, offering someone a cup of water symbolises the simplistic but generous hospitality that should characterise a Christian disciple. What matters is not whether one is inside or outside the community, but whether one has performed the service that is expected by Christ. Jesus invites the disciples to put aside, once again, their own importance, and for them to be prepared to celebrate goodness wherever it exists. While the first part of this passage looks at the goodness outside of the community, the second part, in a balancing way, looks at the evil that may be inside the community. In verse 42, Jesus talks about these little ones. In this statement, he could be talking about children, or more widely, those in the community whose faith can be influenced by a bad example or exploitative behaviour by members who are more mature or stronger. One of my roles that I fill within the diocese is that of safeguarding. In this work, I work with churches and the diocese as a whole to make sure we have policies and guidelines and trainings in place that make sure we protect our children and vulnerable adults. One of the reasons we do this is because we wish to have the best practice that protects our little ones. And in the coming year, the diocese will be stepping up our work in this area. So if there are some extra trainings or work needed, please do think about the reason for that. And think about this passage and the little ones that we are trying to protect. Jesus, in the second part of this passage, is focused on the effects on the individuals that make the little ones stumble. What he doesn't do is focus on the little one themselves. Jesus takes the principle of sacrificing one part to save the whole, to enter or not enter into the kingdom of God. And the parts that we hear about, the eyes and the feet, could be symbolised from the book of Job as well, and potentially taken out of that. The measures that Jesus suggests to those listenings are not meant to be taken literally, but with an understanding that they come from a prophetic tradition and an apocalyptic worldview that we hear throughout Jesus' preaching. Jesus makes it clear that the negative side effects of making others stumble in their faith is severe. However, on the flip side, we can see that Jesus is affirming the supreme value of a life in the kingdom of God. He is affirming the importance of our salvation and that of the other members of the church, and that the salvation is of such overriding importance that we must prepare for drastic action against self-interest or temptation in order not to lose it. Amen.